Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod, a very short, possibly very short, Box Set Pod special episode. Allow us to explain. My name is Howell, this is Jamie. And you may know that we were eager with anticipation for this week's retrospective on the OA, because now both Jamie, I and Matthew Wandless have finished the OA, and we were going to do a spoiler special looking back and making sense of that damn thing. Well, Matthew Wandless has forgotten he was going to be on the podcast, and he is currently out of the house and unable to do it. We also can't find another day to sort things out. Jack Wandless, we can get Jack Boardman, we can get 5 minutes, because I've got some potentially excited news that he's going to be excited about. It's potentially exciting news, right?
Well, let's just do a news pod then. You can do your potentially exciting news.
Okay.
And I'll do some other bits
I'll
of news
save
as
my
well.
News for as soon as Jack can join us. Okay. Might be about 10 minutes.
Right. No props.
Go on then. What's new in the Box Set Pod world?
You know, if you go to theboxsetpod.com/news, I do update it regularly with the latest bits of news that I pick out and find interesting myself. Usually, there are other bits of news, I just don't always record them. But there's bits I haven't mentioned since the start of the year. First, and there's a few things that I did want to mention. So, the Golden Globe Awards happened in January, and I wanted to mention this now because Game of Thrones is returning soon. Mm. Now, Game of Thrones was for the fourth time was nominated for Best Television Drama. Mm. Arguably, this was the year it absolutely deserved the hell out of it, because season six has been an absolute stormer. They've knocked it out of the park. It's been a beauty. Game of Thrones season six, in the end, Game of Thrones lost to The Crown. To the bloody Crown.
You know, one of the things there...
Boring!
Well, there's two things there. One, Americans are obsessed with royalty because they don't have it. They escaped it, and now for some reason they want it, or they like the idea of it. And number two, The Crown is more recent. It's easy to forget. Game of Thrones seems like longer than a year ago now, doesn't it? So it's less fresh in the mind of the particular intelligentsia.
But what's weird is that the Golden Globes regularly snubs Game of Thrones. This isn't the first year it's been snubbed. Game of Thrones. Do you know how many Golden Globes that the Game of Thrones has won?
How many Golden Globes have the Game of Thrones won?
Zero, Howell. Oh. Zero Globes. Golden Globes gives awards to all kinds of crap. They don't care. You can actually probably pay. There's rumours you can bribe the foreign press to get the you know, you can woo women and get an award quite easily. I'm allegedly saying that. That could not be true. But Game of Thrones, a show that has been going for 6 years, has been creating some groundbreaking television, has not received one Golden Globe.
The thing is, I think it feels like it's almost victim to its own success, because when you think of even Walking Dead and regular TV dramas and stuff, they all seem part of one world. Game of Thrones is almost like, ironically, is almost like an establishment or a royalty of its own, isn't it? It's so untouchable. It's almost like the Bible versus every other book. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you were to rate best book of the year, you wouldn't give it the Bible. So there's that kind of feel to it for me. Maybe there's some psychology going on, or yes, maybe they don't wine and dine the panel as much.
I'd like to criticise myself and step in here and say that they have won one Golden Globe. Oh. And that was for...
Oh, well, the entire argument's fallen apart.
I know Peter Dinklage won in 2012 for supporting role, but still, one award in 6 years, it's still an absolute conspiracy.
Yeah.
And it's a damn right outrage. They should all be fired.
Yeah.
Let's move on to other news, though.
Yeah.
Girls has returned. There's a trailer for the latest and the final series of Girls on the news / news side of the boxsetpod.com. It started on Sunday. I have not seen the latest episode, but this is the final series. And the question is, character of Hannah, does she need, like, it's a comedy, and her character has shown zero progression, development, really, from the series one, you could argue. Does she need to? Is it important that she becomes a mature and more rounded human being by the finale? Or do we not really care? Is it more just about Hannah being a complete tool and wandering around New York trying to be a writer?
Well, I know some girls who remain complete tools, but very few. Mm. Most people, you know, Lena Dunham said that at the end of, you know, she couldn't do any more series because for these people to be behaving like this in their 30s would be embarrassing. And I do get that. I think most people are one way or another forced into maturity by the end of their 20s in some way.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of right. What's interesting for me this week, Sarah and I have just started watching it again, watching series one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we started watching it when it was first on. And I don't know what's changed more, TV or me, but I find it a lot less kind of gritty and ugly and kind of freaky than I did when I first saw it. And mostly I'm thinking about her.
You're talking about the sex scenes, aren't
you? Yeah. I think from an activist point of view, I think it is important we see real sex on TV. But at the same time, part of me goes, no, because we don't see people taking a shit on TV. You know, we don't have to see every character doing everything that they do, but then sex is relevant to these people's lives and all of that, so I get that. But I still have that thing when a sex scene comes on of going, oh, this is, it just seems so private. I'm watching a comedy, therefore part of my brain is aware that I'm watching actors. And when I'm aware that I'm watching actors, I get uncomfortable seeing them naked. Nothing to do with them not being porn star bodies, more to do with just whoever it is. If it's a, you know, if Will Ferrell, for example, was to have like a full-on bare-assed sex scene in the middle of a comedy, I wouldn't enjoy seeing that. I'd also find if it was a Victoria's Secret model having sex in the middle of a comedy, I would kind of go, no, I instinctively know these people are joke tellers, and there's something about the clown. The clown is there to be, to behave in ways that we recognise, to be naked in lots of other ways, not literally. If you were to imagine getting a clown, a very funny clown, and then actually taking all their clothes off, you go, no, that's a step too far. That's a step over the line of complicity with the audience, of the contract I've signed when watching a comedy. But she is telling a story. I haven't watched much of it, and she's telling a story that is more dramedy, I suppose.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't mind sex in a comedy if it's part of, if it has a point to the story. If it's trying to make a point about the characters and the story, and there are scenes in Girls that I think really highlight, you know, where the characters are in their life and what kind of people they are. But there are a lot of scenes where you just go, I'm had enough of seeing you doing it now.
Yeah.
And they do it a lot. You know, you just get sick of seeing him do it.
Yeah.
And I find it uncomfortable after a while. I just get sick of it. Mm. There's a good example.
But I'm enjoying it a lot more now. Like, I'm enjoying it this time round more. I think we've got more used to what we describe as gritty TV. And actually, it doesn't look that gritty. In fact, there is a lot more about this that reminds me of Sex and the City, watching it now, than when I watched it then. Like, there are certain sort of tropes and, blokes are like this kind of thing and girls are like this. And that's, I suppose, going to happen when you're based in New York with people who are quite fickle and selfish. So that is Sex and the City as well. But I never, when I first watched it, I didn't think that there were kind of any similarities. I thought it was the perfect antithesis to it. Now I'm a little bit more like, maybe that point has been made more. The bubble doesn't need bursting of Sex and the City quite as much now as it did need it then.
Yeah, and there are other comedies of a similar ilk these days that maybe are a bit more sort of pushing the envelope, you know, things like Transparent and things like Broad City, you know, shows that are also kind of on that similar like line of comedy drama. Yeah. And I don't know, it is interesting going back and watching things and seeing how they stand up, how they hold up against the test of time.
Yeah, I watched The Labyrinth this week, which is on Netflix at the moment in the UK. That bloody stands up, I tell you. There's a couple of special effects, but mostly it's just so good. And Dave Bowie is just brilliant.
Mesmeric in his lycra.
Yeah. There's one particular scene which is in a kind of flashback when he drugs her and she imagines he's sort of seducing her and he wears these like white tights.
Yeah,
even more tight than the other tights that he wears.
Really menacing, really, really menacing bulge.
But the stuff,
even as a child,
like you know the dog that rides a dog, Maximus.
Yeah, and, what's fantastic.
His name? And you know clearly that like a lot of the shots, it's a puppet strapped to the back of a dog flying along. It makes it so funny.
Yeah.
Only Jim Henson could like draw that line, and it really shows how puppets don't age. That's the thing. You don't, the special effects in it, whenever they've used a visual effect, it's really obvious. Whereas the creatures are just living creatures and they'll stand the test of time, you know.
Yeah, interesting thing you're bringing up the Muppets. I watched La La Land at the weekend. I really loved it. Thought it was very, very good. It's like it walks a very fine line, but does it so well and very, you know, there's some beautiful brilliance. Like the first scene's amazing. Like I just couldn't. I thought it was great. And there's a scene. There's a song in it that reminded me of the Muppets. There's a song in it that Emma Stone sings about dreamers. Yeah. I think it reminded me of the Rainbow Connection song in the Kermit song. Mm. And it just reminded me of that when I was watching it. Really, really good film though.
That,
really well done.
You sang at my wedding.
At which I sang at the wedding. Yes. Really good film.
It really is just a great film. I know a lot of people had a problem with the opening scene of that.
Loved it.
I did too. I got it immediately, and they didn't quite know what to make of it, because I think there was an expectation from people that they were going to watch a perfectly old-fashioned Grace Kelly musical. Some people were disappointed with that. Other people didn't want that and thought that that's what they were getting into with the opening scene. The only scene that bothered me, which a lot of people loved, was the one where they go up to the tower, the astronomical
observatory,
purely because, a bit like we were saying with the OA last week, I couldn't work out how they got in there. Like, I like to imagine that they you know, it's clear that some of it's imagined and exaggerated, but I literally wanted to know where they got the key from.
Yeah. I know, it's weird, isn't it? I find as I get older, logistics of shows bother me more. Yeah.
How did they get in there? She's the caretaker.
You know, the bureaucracy of things really bothers me. You know, if they haven't filled the paperwork in, it will actually piss me off a little bit that I haven't seen the certification that they've got all the authorised connections. It's weird, isn't it? But maybe it's an age thing. It's a beautiful film, though. And some of the scene where they're both dancing by the canyon, when they're going to find the cars. Oh, I mean, I've not seen a film that perfectly captures the first the first steps of love. You know, it really captures those early days in a beautiful way.
Just perfectly tells the story of not just Hollywood, but the story of trying to make it in show business, in the business of any kind.
Big time.
It's true of us, I suppose.
Made me want to go back to LA, and I never thought I would say that, but I wish there's parts of LA that I clearly bloody missed. Well, but I mean, I was only there 2 days.
You know the bit where he's singing on the pier?
Yeah.
That's like our hotel when we went to LA last year is at the end of that pier. We walked down that pier. A lot of things have been shot there. It's Hermosa Beach Pier. And I recognised it immediately. And that bit of LA, Hermosa Beach, which is where Jack Black was born and grew up as well.
Oh.
And a very expensive place to live, like 12 million quid for an apartment or whatever.
Jeez.
That bit of LA is bloody great. And then the Beverly Hills is great. It didn't really show much of the concrete jungle, I suppose. But
it avoided it, didn't it?
Yeah.
But very good. Anyway, what a great film. Really good. And anyway, back to a bit of news before we get on to Howell's big news. So Sky Arts released a trailer a few weeks ago for a new comedy called Urban Myths. This has already started, actually, and it's a tongue-in-cheek look at some of the stories that have now become urban folklore about celebrities. Anyway, one of the episodes was going to be about Michael Jackson and some sort of mythological trip that he went on, a road trip with Elizabeth Taylor and Marlon Brando after 9/11 happened. Anyway, this story, this episode, in the trailer, we see Michael Jackson being portrayed by the actor Joseph Fiennes. Now, if you know Joseph Fiennes, he is clearly a white guy. If you've seen Shakespeare in Love, that's him. And a lot of people, including some of Jackson's kids, kicked off big time about this trailer. It caused quite a kerfuffle, and then they pulled the episode entirely, so it will no longer be shown on Sky Arts after such an outrageous reaction from the public.
I saw the trailer, and the likeness with Jackson is amazing. Like, it's unbelievable. So they're reacting to the trailer, and what a shame that a piece of work goes in the bin, you know?
No, because they're great casting. They've got Stockard Channing and Brian Cox as Marlon Brando. We'll never get to see that episode. We'll never get to know.
I think it's a shame because is the main objection that it's a white guy playing Michael Jackson?
Yeah, I think that's the main problem people have with it is it's Joseph Fiennes as the casting. Even Joseph Fiennes said he was shocked to be cast as Michael Jackson.
But so, Michael Jackson, it's really tough, isn't it? Michael Jackson was a white guy when he died. He was white. So if you don't want to draw lines between race, and you just want to use colour as a description, obviously I'm not the best person to talk about this, so I don't know. But it also strikes me that when a piece of art of any kind is thrown in the bin because of public objection, that bothers me because, well, you can release it and get slaughtered for it. But you can still release it.
And I think it's also, people haven't seen it. It's hard, it's judging something out of context a little. I know the idea is that he shouldn't have been cast, in their opinion, as Michael. They disagree with that. I feel it's a disrespectful thing to do. But, you know, maybe we should all watch it first. Then maybe we can have a reaction. It just feels like it's
I was just thinking about the good old days where at this point I'd tell you to ask Michael what he thinks about it.
Oh, no. We're not doing that, Al. We're not doing it.
Hang on, he's here.
Oh, no.
Hey, Jamie.
Hi, Michael.
Hey.
You all right?
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about Joseph Fiennes?
I think it's tabloid. I think it's tabloid. I think they're better than this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Michael.
Bye. It was Michael Jackson from Beyond the Grave. Quite a coup.
Wow. Peace out, Michael.
Anyone else you want to talk to from Beyond the Grave?
Who else can you do?
What are you talking about?
George Michael. Did you do George Michael? You do George.
Hello, Jamie.
It's George, is it? Hiya, George.
Hi.
Right, how are you doing? Are you feeling all right?
Well, obviously not.
Right. So,
no.
Let's leave this where it is.
Maybe you picked someone a bit too recent there. I thought you might go, Winston Churchill or something.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was too soon for him, George. Too soon. David Bowie. Is that
Hello.
Too soon for Bowie?
Hello, David. Jamie.
David, did you enjoy Labyrinth, David? I was wondering, because do you look back at it and feel a bit embarrassed?
Oh, yeah.
Cause, you know, not that you should. Oh, you do.
No. I'm in with a babe. Oh, God, I can't do
it. You can't do David, can you?
I was doing one on my radio show just earlier today, and it was
quite
good.
You've been doing David Bowie?
I did a bit of Bowie.
Oh,
Jane Gina lives on his back. It's not very good, is it?
No, not at all.
I don't think there's any problem in impersonating the dead unless you, you know, a bad mouth.
Unless you're doing it in a disrespectful way, but I think if it's...
And that brings us back to the question in hand. If Joseph Fiennes' impression was a bad impression, perhaps that would make it objectionable. If it was phenomenal, then why not? Perhaps what we need is a black actor to be cast as a white person before that can happen.
Mm, yes.
Which I'm all for. You know, why not?
I've got no problem with that.
Yeah.
Winston Churchill,
played by Denzel Washington. That's what we need.
That would be good.
Brilliant.
I'd go for that. Yeah. But anyway, that's not going to happen because we're not going to see this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon it'll get out eventually because these things always do. It'll get leaked online. Well, you could probably Google it right now and find it.
Some CEO slipping it out the window now. Just dropping out the window of his office going, oh, I dropped the full episode out the window.
Anyway, other news before we move on. Last bit of news. Mm-hmm. Do want to mention. First of all, there's a trailer for Kimmy Schmidt, new series that's come out.
I can't wait.
Where they spoof Beyonce's Lemonade. And also, there's a trailer, a promo. This was released during the Super Bowl of season 2 of Stranger Things.
Oh.
It returns on Halloween. That is going to be a great binge session, Halloween.
They can't come quick enough, can they? I want them to... I found with DOA, which we'll return to next week, but I wanted them to move on quick. It was like, that's the problem with this binge.
That is the problem. And you know what? That is the problem. That is actually a problem. Artistically, it's a problem. Because look at what happened to True Detective. Season 2 was rushed out. I know you don't like it, Howard, but, you know, season 2 was rushed out and panned critically and by the audience, and now we'll probably not see a third series of True Detective. Maybe we will.
I'm not suggesting they rush it out. I'm just suggesting that somebody creates, you know, a 9-to-5 situation. So shooting never finishes. It just keeps going.
Right.
None of this
waiting around. So it's like Coronation Street.
Yeah. But you obviously start in advance enough to allow you sort of edit time and stuff.
Yeah, you're gonna lose something in production value at some point, though, aren't you? Along the lines,
I don't know. I don't know if Corey had the budget Netflix has,
that's true.
Could employ numerous editors and things. Maybe you could keep it up. I mean, you could make that argument looking at any British TV and say, well, we make 8 and it's therefore better than American series, which are 22. Well, that's nonsense, isn't it? Because it's better over there. So, you know, just keep them working. Get them hamsters on the treadmill. That's what I say.
I couldn't agree more.
Don't give them a freaking break.
Well, that's your news. That's all the news
job.
I've got. Yeah.
What else have you been watching?
A number of things. Man in the High Castle season 2.
Oh, season 2? I've only watched the first episode of that. We should do it on the pod.
You've only watched season 1, episode 1?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right, yeah, we definitely should. It's one. It's definitely worth sticking with. We're midway through season 2.
Yeah.
We should definitely do that. That's worth a crack.
Have you watched any of The Jump on Channel 4?
No, I've been missing it.
Regular TV in Britain, where celebrities do the ski jump and other cold-related sports, winter sports. And last year, Beth Tweddle, Olympic athlete, broke a neck. And
oh, yeah, she broke her neck, didn't she?
About 12 other celebrities broke things, got serious injuries. And there is no way that if that was a BBC series that it would have been allowed to come back because the public would have been in uproar.
But isn't the bigger point here that these celebrities, even though they see other years where people break their neck, they decide to go on it? Like, isn't that incredible that celebrities still want to go on it?
There's a kind of, yeah, but there's sort of a duty of responsibility, I think, because Olympic athletes are simpletons. You know, Bradley Wiggins has gone on, and in episode one, he's broken his leg or something similar. And it's like these people are supremely competitive. They are the heroin addicts of sport. They have to win. And if you put those people in a short-term, like, okay, learn the luge in a week, learn the skeleton in a week, somebody is going to face plant and hurt themselves.
Because everything, to give absolutely everything or nothing at all. They can't go into it like an ordinary Joe and just go, I'll take it easy. I'll just go easy on this run, you know. See how I don't need to win. I just want to live. They have to power through in a competitive way. It's just built into their DNA.
I must apologise for the loss of quality in Jamie's voice just then. It's because I'm trying to patch in Jack Boardman.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hiya, Jack.
Jack!
Oh, there we go.
Ah, Jack sounds great. Jamie sounds a bit poor now. Jack has...
Do I sound...
Jack has used up the internet space. Well, listen, Jack, we just wanted to get you on. First of all, what happened with you pouring a bucket of water, boiling water over yourself? Are you all right?
Right, okay. So I'm running the Manchester Half Marathon in May. And I kept on putting off training for it. I kept on putting it off, couldn't be bothered to do it. Eventually, I summoned up the courage and thought, right, I'm going on a run tonight. Went on a run, managed to punch out 3 miles, came back and thought, right, I'll have a healthy tea. So I made some with other things, but there was some corn on the cob there. So I was boiling it. I picked up the bloody pan, misjudged how heavy the water was going to be, and then it just went all down me.
Oh.
I had shoes and socks on. My joggers were still on, and it had gone right through it. And I've never seen blisters like it.
Really?
Absolutely. It was vile.
On what?
All down my shin and on my foot. Just on the top of my foot, that was the worst bit, because I couldn't put a bloody shoe on for about 2 weeks.
Dude. Dreadful. Well, I'm glad you're all right. I went to hospital this week for a camera up my bum. They took a biopsy of some polyps up there. They banded 4 piles. It was the longest, most uncomfortable / painful half hour of my life. And all the time I'm being surveyed by the NHS, because that's what they have to do now. So within a minute of this ordeal finishing, someone leans over and goes, how would you rate the pain you felt today? Is it mild, severe, or medium? And you're like literally lying on the slab going, so, yeah, that was a rough medical week for us all, apart from Jamie there. But then he has had a child recently, so we'll give him his hospital credits.
What was that your news then, Harold?
No, my news is this. I've just written an email. Stop me when you know who I'm writing to.
Okay.
Dear X and X. Jamie, let Jack figure this out. My wife, Sarah, interviewed you when in Manchester for the local ITV news, and your card has been next to my front door on a table for the last 2 weeks while I watch season 2 and meanwhile continue my podcast about TV box sets. We've got lots of listeners and have interviewed a lot of folk from TV in front and behind the camera. Blah, blah, blah. Not sure if you do interviews with podcasts or have the time, but if you do have access to Skype, we can do it from anywhere in the world. If you'd be interested in coming on the show, please let me know. We'd love to have you. All the best. Harold, Jamie, and the Box Set Pod listeners. Who am I emailing?
Well, as soon as you said X and X, the only double actor I could think of that are on TV that I saw a trailer for today is Anton Deck, but it's not going to be them, is it?
No.
No.
Steve and Javier.
Who?
Steve Murphy and Javier Penner.
Get out
the
of
real
town.
Narcos.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are they coming? Oh.
I'm just pressing send on that email. So I told you it's not it's news to get excited about, but we're not, you know, who knows. But there's their card next to my front door. I'm watching Narcos, and there's their card with Steve Murphy and Javier Pena with their email addresses on it. Boom, sent.
Wow.
Awesome.
How cool is that? So we might get an interview with the Narcos, and if we do, we might let you on it, seeing as you're the biggest fan.
Get Maisie Williams on and just let me have a little flirt with her. And we'll just see where things go.
Unbelievable. Can't just be happy with the Narcos.
I've got to exploit my position on the box set pod. That's, you know.
Yeah, send some emails, Jack. You might be able to pull it off. So there we go. Who knows? In the near future, maybe a Narcos special. Find out what is true and what is false from Narcos and the story of catching Pablo Escobar from the men themselves. But next week, the OA special, as promised this week, when Matthew Wanless pulls his finger out and actually turns up on time. Get a diary, Matt. Get a diary. Thank you, Jack. Glad you're well. And
it's all right.
Cheers. You can email us as ever, studio@theboxsetpod.com. Never get any emails. I know we've got lots of listeners, but no one can ever find a reason to email. So why don't I ask you a question? What is your favourite TV series of the last year that should beat Game of Thrones as best TV box set? studio@theboxsetpod.com. Thank you.
Where the hell are you, Jack? What are you doing here?
He's selling cocaine in Colombia.
No, I'm walking to my friend's house. I'm walking through Leeds, and every time a car goes past, I try and cover up the mic so you can't hear it, but there's a dog screaming its head off, so I can't quite hide that one.
Well, you have fun. You have fun in Leeds.
I do like it. I think we should do more, you know, try and always be outdoors when we're doing the pod, Jack.
On tour. Great.
Jack on tour.
What a great title. Like raconteur. Great.
A little bit.